Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I am talking with author Patrice Dickey about her new inspirational self-help book titled Back to the Garden, Getting from Shadow to Joy. As a speaker and award-winning author, workshop leader, and life coach, Patrice Dickey helps others align their vision and values to create richer, more meaningful lives on every level. After having reinvented herself numerous times through many paradigm pitfalls and life shifts, she knows how to walk the talk. Her passion today is her courses and workshops in spiritual growth and life transition. PD Communications, her successful PR consulting firm, which she ran for 16 years, served such clients as British Airways, some of the world's top surgeons, health and wellness clients, and other high-caliber, high-profile organizations. She still regularly contributes articles to national and regional magazines on wellness and health, and is a registered yoga teacher. Patrice is the author of this inspirational book, Back to the Garden, its companion audiobook, and a series of DVDs on self-empowerment. So I am just delighted to have Patrice on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Patrice.
Hi, Juanita. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, great, great. You know, this book, Back to the Garden, actually hit shelves in 2006, and since it's won 5 awards, and I believe that it was in contests like the Writer's Digest, the IPPYs, and Best Books USA, and then you also won a prize for nonfiction category in the Atlanta Writers Club. So, I mean, that is some great recognition. How are you feeling about all of this?
Well, it's extremely validating because as a self-published author, I did not show this book to anybody except for my angel editor, Joyce Kennard, who had co-authored the Lemon Book with Ralph Nader back in the day, and she was the only person who had seen it before it actually came out. And she made a few suggestions, but nothing radical, and so in my mind, as I was in the process, all I could think of was, well, I don't hate it. So to have it win all these awards has just been fantastic.
Yes.
But even more important than that has been the impact on various readers who read it themselves and read it over and over and over again to help them pick themselves up and start all over again.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it really is one of those books that you can pick up at any time and kind of at any place and really get something from it.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, and I've heard the word authentic been used to describe your books from readers, reviewers, and I know you really bring an autobiographical element into this book through your own journey. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and then how it led you to writing Back to the Garden?
Well, my background is so varied. I think the common theme has been raising myself and others up. And when I say that, it's because I experienced a very interesting childhood, which, of course, most authors do. And anybody, you know, anybody who creates has some kind of impetus. I think mine was that my mother was like Mary Poppins much of the time, and then something shifted, and she came more like the mother of Norman Bates.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's so sad to say, but, you know, she really, and I did not really recognize until within the past 2 years that I think my mother's issue was bipolar. And so she medicated with alcohol, and I witnessed my Mary Poppins, who she was when I was a kid, deteriorate and on the downhill slide, until at the point when I was 21 years old, she fell down the stairs in a drunken rage and broke her neck and was rendered quadriplegic for the next 18 years of her life. And so she was trapped inside her body, and she had no outlets. I mean, some people really are able to draw themselves out and recreate themselves after having experienced a horrible tragedy or accident like that. But some are not, and it was because her mental state was already not good,
mm-hmm.
to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened for me was I then just went into a spiral of self-destructive behavior. Actually, that was just part of my life. I was a solid citizen, worker bee during the day. I had all kinds of actually I worked for the Red Cross, the American Red Cross. I was a blood drive coordinator, and I worked for the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce as the special events director. And so I had all these solid citizen kind of jobs that I was doing, but I was also very self-destructive in my personal life and beating myself up over the fact that I could not rescue my mother.
Mm.
And so I went through at least 10 or 12 years of that kind of behavior until I literally hit bottom in a codependent relationship with an unavailable artist.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of people I was attracted to. And I finally hit bottom, and I began to heal myself. And that was through, I lucked out. I was walking into the chiropractic office one day, and I saw some flyers on the counter that said, codependency groups now forming, 3 months required, 3 months minimum required. And I thought, oh, I can knock this problem out in 3 months. No problem with that. Well, as that evolved into years, I mean, I was involved with all kinds of different therapies for years and years, and I was able to shift myself, and I saw how some of the most simple things can be hugely helpful to people when they are trying to become more healthy and more self-respectful and live lives of promise and really express themselves in their creative voice the way they are supposed to or meant to be as manifestations of the Creator. So that's the theme. The theme is finding your inner voice, finding your creative core and expressing it outwardly, or otherwise you may shrivel up and die, you know?
Yes.
I mean, it's so important to find your means of expression, and that's what I help people do.
Great. Well, what a fascinating story you've had to get to this point in your life. Very, very interesting. So is it your book, Back to the Garden? Why don't you give readers an idea of what this book is about? I know you break it up into short chapters, and so tell us a little more about the book.
Well, it is the stories of many people who have been members of my class at Evening at Emory University's Center for Lifelong Learning, since I started my class in 1999. Originally, I called this class The Art of Positive Change.
Mm-hmm.
But I discovered that nobody really wants to change, but everybody wants to get the life they love. So I changed the class name to Get the Life You Love, and it has been filled ever since. Mm-hmm. I offer it every other quarter at Emory, and I have a lot of online material that corresponds to that at patricedickey.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the stories of people who have used the ideas that I teach in the class and have created bold new lives for themselves. Here's a great example. A lovely woman showed up in my class. Some folks say, well, you have to know what you want, don't you, to go take that class to get the life you love? And I say, well, no, not necessarily. You don't have to consciously know what you want, but subconsciously and underneath all the chatter, you do know what you want. There is some inner kernel, some little whisper in there that I help people detect through the exercises that we do in the class. And one woman who had just lost her sister to brain cancer and just was in agonizing pain over that, and she was also an empty nester. Her kids had moved out. They were in college or, you know, grown up. And her husband was an international businessman, and so he was never around. She came and took the class, and one of the exercises that we do is called treasure mapping, which was made popular in The Secret. Well, it's been around for a long time, and I first read about it in the book by Shakti Gawain called Creative Visualization.
Yeah.
So I started doing that in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so Reba put a tiny little picture of a chef on her map, and because she had realized that while she was nursing her sister, that one of the things that she enjoyed was creating holistic dinners or meals for her.
Mm.
And so as a result of that, when she got home, she was online. When she got home from that session, she got online and she got some spam from the Culinary Institute of America. And she thought, well, I put a chef on my map. Why don't I just check this out? And it turned out that it was some cooking class at CIA up in New York, and or course, you know, it was not just a class. I mean, it was a whole course. And so she explored it further, and she ended up going to New York. Everything happened perfectly synchronistically. She found a perfect apartment. She was able to take her two dogs with her, and her husband could fly into New York just as easily as Atlanta on his international junket. So he met her up there every weekend for 6 months while she was in training, and she then got the perfect internship at a resort in Florida in the winter, so she had that perfect opportunity, and now she's a holistic chef.
Isn't that something?
Right, and she came into my class in complete despair, and she was also seeing she was getting other kinds of help. I mean, I'm not saying that my class can do everything, and I am a strong advocate of get all the help you need, because we are all in this together, and
sure,
we don't all have all the solutions ourselves. So that's one example, and those are the kinds of stories that I include in the book, and there are probably the stories of 70 people, and I tell them like a story, because I think people realize and relate and understand stories better than they understand just here's how you do it,
yes.
1, 2, 3.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's so many books out there that are, this is what you do, and, you know, write the goal lists and da-da-da and all these exercises, and I think that we do learn better from other people's, you know, being a witness to other people's journeys.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the book is a witness to their journeys, and it is also a witness to my journey.
Yes.
I have literally scraped myself up off the tarmac time and time again after crushing disappointments and, you know, just an unbearable pain over the situation in my family. I loved my mother so much, and there was nothing I could do to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even really realize, I think none of us really realized what the issue was. We thought the issue was alcoholism, but what I think people are discovering now is that people become alcohol or drug addict or any kind of addict in order to medicate some kind of brain issue that's going on.
Yes. Now, so, is this what you're talking about with the shadow?
Yeah, the shadow manifests in many, many different ways. We all have our shadow. I mean, just stand in the sun and look around behind
right.
you. It's there. And if we don't acknowledge the shadow, if we don't embrace our shadow, if we don't embrace the darker aspects of ourselves and acknowledge them, they will loom up and swallow us.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people try to just put on a shiny, happy face all the time without recognizing that we have to love even our darker aspects, because we all have them.
Yeah. So what do you see as maybe some of the more predominant shadow issues that that people deal with that are really self-defeating behaviors?
Well, there are several extremely societally sanctioned shadow issues. One is workaholism.
Mm-hmm.
One is shopping to excess.
Consumerism,
yeah. One is, and all these are behaviors that block our ability to feel. I'm sure you've heard of the the retail cure, or what do we call it? I can't remember right off the the shopping cure, whatever. But, you know, then you later you experience the pain of you look at your credit cards and they're all charged up, and it wasn't so helpful after all. So workaholism, consumerism, eating, alcohol, drugs, sex, name it. You know, our whole culture is an addict.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to learn how to turn our view inside and learn how to seek the answers inside. And that's one of the reasons that yoga has been so helpful to me and why I have been able to maintain stability during some very rocky times over the past few years as I leapt off the cliff of leaving a very well-paid PR profession, which I couldn't bear to do any longer. But of course now I discover I'm doing my own PR, so but it's different. You know, it's exciting to feel like I might be helpful to somebody.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you decide to leave that steady income behind and just leap out into the unknown and make it your goal and make it your vision, things begin to conspire in your favor. The universe starts to open up and opportunities arise, and it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. So, you know, you said that the shadow actually blocks us from feeling. So do you think that joy is really a natural state, that once you really, you know, uncover these layers and really have a look at your shadow issues, embrace them, and, you know, kind of transform them. Do you think that joy is just there waiting?
Well, I'm not sure if I said that the shadow blocks us from feeling. It's the addictions
that
we use to block our feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to block our shadow experiences, to prevent ourselves from self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-respect, and self-love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we can choose happiness. We can choose to view situations in a way that is more productive for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, oh, well, I'm a realist, when they chalk their pessimism up to realism. Well, there are whole sciences now that are being developed and touted that happiness is a choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, but let's face it, if you've got a chemical imbalance, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that yoga actually helps balance the brain, and I have seen it help people wrench themselves up from the pit of despair, including me, my own self, under certain circumstances. You know, when all you can do is focus on one breath at a time, it gives you a structure.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are really, really in need, they need to seek help. I seek help all the time. Whenever I'm really in the pit of despond, I get with my hypnotherapist, and she helps me sort through some of the subconscious things
mm-hmm.
that are drawing me down or preventing me from forward movement.
There really are so many different avenues out there at this time. We live in such incredible times where we have access to various therapies that, you know, that we do have to look at different ways that we can heal ourselves.
Right, and why not? I mean, you don't.
Yes.
I mean, for those who cannot remember the past, they're condemned to repeat it. Now, I had a very, very strong example in my mother, who was delightful and brilliant and loved by every kid who ever came in contact with her. And of course, they didn't see the other side.
Oh, that's tough.
But you know, I thought, okay, there but for the grace of God go I. What can I do differently?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be healthier so that this is not something that happens to me? And you know, it's actually ironic. I knew a young man when I was in college who was in a play tussle with his father at the side of a pool when, you know, like when he was 19 or something. He threw his dad in the pool. He rendered his dad quadriplegic, paraplegic.
Oh.
Okay, so he was devastated, yeah. obviously. But when I met him, he was just an angry young man, and he really lashed out, and he took it out on all kinds of people around him. And I ran into him several years later, and he was in a wheelchair. He had paralyzed himself at the same level. And I thought, oh, my God,
yeah.
you know, what an image. And this was before I got on the path of well-being myself. And I thought, geez, Marie, I mean, you know, this is a sign that I need to do something. But then, to add to the total trippiness of the whole thing, he and I had had a sort of a run-in when we were in college, and then I ran into him in adult life when we were both working at ad agencies. And then I ran into him again just this past year. He came to my yoga class several times, and from a wheelchair, and he was able to do, you know, do the work, do the poses, and not all of them completely, of course, but he had healed himself spiritually.
Wow.
And yoga was one of the ways that he did it.
Wow.
His entire demeanor, his entire energy shifted. It was phenomenal.
See, it really is amazing when you make that choice into the direction of healing yourself, just how things can open up and shift so dramatically like that.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information.
And now back to Inside Scoop Live with your host, Juanita Watson.
And it is a choice. I mean, we can be cynics and pessimists and you know, PO'd at the world, and that can be our operating mechanism if we choose it to be. But what good does it do?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, mm-hmm. I mean, when I look at people like Ann Coulter, I think, you know, what were her issues growing
yeah.
up? Who beat her up on a daily basis?
Yes.
I guess she had some older brothers who beat her up.
It must.
Something.
Somebody. You know, I heard you say in another interview that this whole idea about choice, I'm going to quote you here. You say, of course, it's always our choice whether or not we'll pay attention to the clarion call of our higher self to grow into our full expression, into the joyous lives we're meant to live. I love that. I think that's such a profound statement. And would you maybe talk a little to that clarion call? And you know, we've talked about choice already, but what is the clarion call?
The clarion call, to me, is that still, small voice within. And this is what we find by getting still and quiet and by turning off the iPod and turning off the cell phone and turning off the chit-chat and the voices from outside that block our touching the heart center. And when I did the yoga teacher training, my teacher, Graham Fowler, who had studied with the Maharishi, he said that if we take anything away from yoga teacher training, let it be meditation, because it will change our lives. Now, I've got to admit, I am one of the most active and jumpy people I know. So for me to sit still and meditate is a real challenge. But you don't always have to sit still.
Mm-hmm.
You can do walking meditation. And you can, there are just many ways to let that still small voice come to being and just cultivate awareness of what's going on inside of you. We need to do it individually and as a culture, because the voices, the blather is so loud, it's just driving people insane and causing, well, at its most insane level, it manifests as war.
Yes.
So, you know, we've got to learn how to go within and shift something inside ourselves, because when we make that shift internally, our whole energetic demeanor changes, and we broadcast that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the more healthy people there are individually, the healthier our planet.
Most definitely. I'd like to talk a little bit to the garden metaphor in your title, and then that kind of streams through your book. Would you tell us a little bit about it and what nature and gardening mean to you?
Okay, well, yeah, the fun thing about gardening for me is that as a young person, I killed every plant that anybody ever gave me.
Oh,
they stopped. I actually, people started giving me silk plants instead.
Oh, no.
I know. It was sort of a joke. It was because I had no self-nurturing skills.
Oh,
I didn't know how to take care of myself.
Mm.
So how could I take care of a plant? And what happened for me as I began to learn how to take care of myself, and as I became more and more healed through these multiple different kinds of therapy, which have just been extraordinary in my life, I began to express that in my outer world.
Mm.
So now I'm just surrounded by a beautiful garden. I live in the Enchanted Forest, as I call it, in Avondale Estate, Georgia, which is, it's near Atlanta. It's inside the perimeter. So
oh,
I'm
beautiful.
One of those
mm-hmm.
IT kind of people. But
mm-hmm.
Anyway, the gardening metaphor is that we have to continually be on the alert for the weeds that are growing in our garden, and we have to pull them, because we have a lot of negative thoughts, and it's up to us to deal with them effectively, to dispatch them to the garbage or whatever, or, you know, just get them out.
Yeah.
Weed the garden. And also, one of the other factors is we've all got plenty of manure in our lives, and what are we going to do with it? Are we going to let
that.
It sit there and smell bad, or are we going to use it as fertilizer and spread it around and grind it into the soil and create a beautiful, fertile soil?
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, just the whole thing of gardening, one of the other aspects is that you don't plant a seed and expect a beautiful tree to be there next week.
Yes, that's true.
You have to leave it in the dirt and see what happens. And we put ourselves into the void. We put ourselves into a dark space, a space of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't expect the full fruit or full blossom to spring out immediately. We have to allow nature to take its course. I think in America, we think that when one thing ends, another thing immediately begins, and that's not the natural way.
Yeah.
So observing the cycles of nature is very helpful.
Yes. I love the gardening metaphor. That's wonderful. No, you've talked about the idea that you've reinvented yourself many times, and I kind of wonder if the idea of reinventing oneself brings up fear in people, and whether we need to kind of rethink this idea of reinventing ourselves, because maybe this is a natural cycle of life as we evolve as human beings or spiritual beings. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, definitely. I think people freak themselves out over thinking they have to immediately be something different, like by snapping their fingers.
Mm-hmm.
How evolution works is a very slow and steady process, and you just take it one day at a time and one breath at a time if necessary. For example, for many years I taught sales training. I taught sales training for 15 years. It was one of my evening hobbies. I really loved it. And I then quit teaching sales training in 97, and for 2 years I didn't teach anything, and I loved being in the classroom, But during the entire 15 years that I had been teaching sales, I had my own file folder that I stuffed full of ideas and articles about my own class, because there was a segment during the sales class that was 20 minutes and out of a 50-hour course, and it was about the power of the subconscious mind and helping create shifts in one's life. And I thought, okay, if this is what keeps a successful salesperson buoyed up, this is what everybody needs. Everybody needs to understand the power of what you feed your mind. And so that's what I based my entire course upon. But that course didn't come to me in the snap of a finger. You know, I've worked on it for 15 years. And then one day I took a walk, and in 20 minutes, the entire outline for a six-week class came to me. That's that still, small voice I was talking about. So I rushed in. I wrote down the outline. I proposed it to Evening at Emory. They said, oh, this is ironic. This is the first time in 18 months we're even taking new course ideas. And I said, oh, well, perfect.
Yeah, really.
But the idea is, you start doing something on the side as a hobby or an interest. And then you build on it. You don't leap out of your well-paying job with no resources and set yourself up for failure. You have to, you know, just sort of ease into things and keep in mind that habits are first cobwebs and then cables. That's a Spanish proverb that I use in my class. And so whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, you know, hey, let's make it a good habit. Get up from the TV. Oh, by the way, that's another one of our big addictions
in American
culture today.
Yep.
Get up from the TV and start working on what it is that you want your next life to be. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's great. That is fantastic. So, you know, in your book, you make many references to spirituality and then some various religions. So tell us a little bit about the spiritual nature of Back to the Garden, and then the importance that you feel it is to have some type of faith when you're taking on a healing journey or reinventing yourself.
To me, having faith in a higher power was a lifesaver, because having dealt with alcoholism and all of its more severe manifestations, as I did with my mother's accident and quadriplegia and all that, it was very, very hard, very, you know, it was devastating. Simple, devastating. And when I got into that first codependency group therapy group, I just wanted to feel better. I wanted to heal. I wanted to be well. I didn't want to be in such horrible pain all the time that I had to drink and party and, you know, just be out and be wild in order to medicate my pain, because I was repeating history, basically. Well, I asked one of the co-leaders of that codependency group, I said to him after 2 years, I said, Lewis, isn't there some way I can speed up this process? And he said, well, I've been telling you for 2 years to go to Al-Anon. And I said, what? And you mean devote another night of my life to this? So I lost my job in the ad. I worked for three small ad agencies in a row, and that's a very volatile field. And I lost my job in this ad agency, which was okay because it was a nut house anyway. And that's when I started my own PR firm. That was in 1989. And I was broke, and I was desperate. And I was completely clueless, but I just had to, well, for one, I had to quit group therapy because I couldn't pay for it anymore. So that's when I started going to Al-Anon, which only cost $1.
Yeah.
And those, all of those groups are, they are so uplifting. That is the true spirit in the room. It's not guided by an interlocutor in the form of a minister or a priest or somebody who has a closer touch to God. It is living spirit in dumpy little church rooms, or, you know, it's very interesting.
Yes.
And if I had not had Al-Anon during that period of time when I was trying to start a new business, I don't know how I would have survived.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. So But what I found in 6 years of going to Al-Anon every Tuesday was a resource that lifted me up, and that was the higher power and mm-hmm. just turning things over, learning that I am not the one in control.
Yes.
And when we think we're the ones in control, we're headed for a great awakening.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But so for me, it's very important. Some people might be turned off by the term God or higher power. Well, some use the term life force, you know, or nature.
Yes.
Nature, life force, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, there is something that is bigger than us. We are cogs in a wheel. We are not the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our role to play, and when we are able to recognize that we have something to offer to the grand plan, I think that's when we are more fulfilled and able to express our creative gifts better.
Mm, beautifully said. So, you know, we're kind of coming to an end with our time here, but I did want to know some thoughts, or have you the chance to offer some thoughts to anybody that may be listening to this interview today that really is feeling stuck or unfulfilled in their life and want to capture a vision for themselves in the future, or, you know, just a vision once again in their life. What could you offer them just through this interview? Obviously, we want to encourage people to go out and purchase your book, but maybe some words of encouragement as well.
I would say that if I was able to lift myself up, I mean, the degree of self-hatred for not being able to help my mother, or not, and in fact, guilt, because I thought that I had driven her to drink with my reckless behavior when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if I was able to shift that thought process and find a degree of self-love that has blossomed into my being able to share my gift along the way, I think that it is possible for anyone. And I think my best advice would be focus on something that you do want. And this is what I did when I was just in the pits. I went through magazines and I found some pictures of the kinds of things that brought me peace. And for example, at this moment, I am looking at a lotus flower, and the headline underneath it is Serenity, and that's what I want to manifest in my life.
Mm.
And find pictures of things that you do want to manifest in your life. Maybe it's that beautiful home that you want, or a swimming pool, or a race car. I don't know. You know, maybe it's something more like that. But put them where you can see them and focus on them and just get a new mantra. The new mantra is this: all is well.
Mm.
All is well. And just focus on things that you do want to experience in your life, because the more we focus on those, the more we attract them. And if we're expending a lot of emotional energy on negatives, we generate more of those too. That's the law. That's one of the universal laws. So
mm-hmm.
I would say, just one step at a time, and put one foot in front of the other, and remember to keep breathing deeply all the way down into your abdomen.
Yes, yes.
Along the way.
Great.
And hold the vision.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So I hope that's been helpful in some small way. I really appreciate the opportunity, Juanita.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I wanted to make sure we got to mention your website once again.
Right, right. It's Patrice. Dickey.com. That's PatriceDickey.
And there's a lot of information up on your website.
Right, and a lot of great free things, too.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
I have a complimentary e-zine that comes out at the right time on a regular basis, and it's got tools and tips and perspective shifts and always some cool mind candy with that hopeful flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That is at PatriceDickey.com. It's called Your Guide to the Life You Love. And there's also a complimentary ebook called 101 Simple Ways to Kick the Depression Habit and Get Happier Without Prozac.
Great.
And, believe me, when I have thought that I wasn't going to be able to put one foot in front of the other. I go back and reread my own.
Is that right?
I do. I think, okay, it's time to take some of your own advice here.
Yeah.
But there's some free MP3s downloads, and there are a lot of MP3s for only 99 cents of my book, and, lots of good stuff.
Yeah, it's a fabulous website. You've done a really good job, and I strongly encourage listeners to check it out because it really is very well done. So, I just wanted to ask you as well, what's next for you?
Well, I am working on a series of DVDs that are all about self-empowerment, and I have a couple of them. Well, if they're not available, they should be available by the time this interview airs. And I'm doing a fabulous workshop, a weekend-long workshop in January called Dynamic Presence that is drawing together people from around the globe to work on the law of attraction.
Wow. And is this through the Internet?
This will be a physical. It'll be show up at a resort in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Farmley Gardens.
Okay.
Yeah, but there is information available and a link on my website as well.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Well, best to you and much success to you. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share?
Just that all things are possible when we turn them over. I had this realization when I was just in the pits of despair, one of the many times, in changing situations, where there's no will, there's a way. And I put that up on my bathroom mirror, and I stared at it for months and years, possibly. And now it is the title of one of the snippets in my book. I don't call them chapters because they're not really that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so where there's no will, there's a way.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Patrice. It's just been a real pleasure talking with you today.
Well, thanks, Juanita. My pleasure. You've had some very wonderful and insightful questions. I appreciate that.
Well, we did cover a lot, and I know that everyone will take away something different from the interview and exactly what they need. So I think that this was just a delight. So thank you, and I hope to have you again on the program.
Thanks.
Take care, Patrice.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, listeners, well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. What a great, great interview. And we really do encourage you to go to Patrice's website. That, once again, is patricedickey.com. It has so much information up there. Check out her book. I know it's available through local and online booksellers as well as through her website. You can also go to readerviews.com for a recent book review and online interview. So thanks again for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.